Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. As Christians, this is our responsibility always. Jesus said, "You will do the things that I do, and you will speak the words that I speak." Lent is a time for us more intentionally to be a human being and to let God into our lives, to be more like Jesus, who is God and human. So part of the task of Lent is to think more like God thinks, to speak more like God speaks, to see more like God sees. And sometimes this is difficult because the world sees you differently than God does. Max Lucado, I don't know if you ever read anything by him, he's a very good Christian writer, and he writes about the time he was in seminary. And part of his ministry was not just to study and do the book learning, but it was to care for a young man with severe cerebral palsy. And his name was Harold. And Max didn't want this job. He wanted to preach and he wanted to spread God's word, and he didn't want to have to spend time with this person with this handicap. Max remembers particularly one Sunday he took Harold to church and the preacher preached on Philippians chapter 2. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. That's one of the verses we talked about in our class in our worship last Wednesday. In humility, consider others better than yourselves. And he looked at Harold. He said, "What?" I mean, Max, he was strong and tall and very intelligent. This hurt his pride. Max said, "How could I be like, how could I have Harold better than me? Am I really supposed to consider Harold better than myself?" But over the next years, God worked on Max. God worked on him. He came to love and respect Harold. He began to see not just his handicap and his limitations, but came to see his assets, his smile, his deep appreciation for anything you did for him, his care for him. I mean, Max couldn't even wash his own face, but he prayed so beautifully. And Max started to respect him more because the things that Max took for granted, it took Harold such an effort to do. And he respected his courage and his perseverance. Max learned to see as God sees, to think as God thinks in a very deep way. More so than even his studies, his theological books, his looking at the Bible and everything in seminary was very good. But his relationship with Harold gave him a deeper faith. And he began to see more clearly, like God sees, and think like God thinks. Samuel, the prophet, in today's first reading that Terry read, learned this also. Saul, as you read in the Bible, was not a great king. Some people think he might have been schizophrenic or he had a borderline personality, but he was a nut. And God wanted to replace him. So he said, "Samuel, I want you to go to Bethlehem. I want you to go to Jesse's house, and one of his sons are going to be the new king." So he got his horn and put oil on it to anoint the king, and he went to Bethlehem and Jesse's house, and he started looking at Jesse's sons, who would be king material. And when Samuel saw Jesse's son Eliab, he knew, hey, this is the right place. This guy, he looks like a king. He's tall, he's athletic, he's strong, and he'd be a great king. He said, this has got to be it. So he's ready to empty his horn of oil and anoint him. And God said, whoa, hold your horses, Samuel. God said, do not look on his appearance or on his height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Through his relationship with God, through his faith, he began to see not as Samuel sees, but he began to see as God sees, and to see as God sees. You know, the world looks at you and me, and the world sees us in a certain way. How do you look? What kind of car do you drive? What's your house like? What kind of degrees do you have? Where do you live in the city? And they judge you like that. But not so with God. God has a different way of looking at us. See, we tend to look at the outward appearance. But what does God look at? Your heart. Your heart. What kind of heart does God desire? Well, you know what kind of heart God desires. One who loves justice for all people. Loves kindness in your relationships with people. And walks humbly with your God, as Micah so clearly tells us. God wants us to have a clean heart. That's why we sang a few moments ago, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. A pure heart comes from a deep trust in God and his word. And then you treat others as God would, a godly way. Let me tell you about Ruth. Ruth was a good mother, loved her son, loved her family. And she was helping her son clean his room. And behind his vanity, she found a hardcore pornographic magazine. And she put it aside and helped the son continue to clean the room, trying to think, well, how am I going to respond to this? How am I going to teach my son? You know, I could yell at him and all that, but it's not going to do any good. So after they were done, she picks up the magazine to her son's 13-year-old son's horror, and she starts paging through. She says, oh, yeah, this is somebody's daughter. This is somebody's sister. And her son heard her. He started feeling bad. She didn't tell him what to do, but he got that magazine, threw it in the garbage. Catching faith, learning to see as God sees, helps us to see that God works through loving relationships. An I-thou relationship. To look at the other as you love yourself. Not an I-it, not as an object, not as something to be used, not as someone to use to get ahead or to use for your own pleasure. No. To see the other as a person made in the image and likeness of God, whoever that person is. Not as a thing, but remember that they are persons, not objects. No matter how different they are from us, you can't group them together. Well, those. No, you can't do that. Everybody's an individual. And through God's eyes, we see people as individuals loved by God rather than generalizing those people. Those kind of people are all like that. No, that's ignorant. But Ruth, the mother of the young son, the 13-year-old, knew that she began to humanize these women in the magazine. She tried to get her son to attach a certain amount of worth and dignity to those women in those pictures, that those for whom he cared, to look at a woman as a mother, an aunt, a friend, a sister, rather than just a thing. In fact, she had given the women in the photos more dignity than they gave themselves for posing for those pictures in the first place. The prophet Samuel, enlightened by his faith in God, said, "Well, no, it's not Eliab, it's not Abinadab." But he anointed another who wasn't even there. He had to call him from the fields. The youngest, the ruddy redhead, David, who became the greatest king Israel ever had. Now, David was not always perfect. And at times, he turned away from God. And you know the story about Uriah and Bathsheba and the ways he really was a terrible witness. Still, David knew when Nathan said, "You're the man," when he knew he was wrong, he felt bad because it broke his relationship with God. So he repented, had turned back, and tear his clothes and put ashes and sackcloth on. He had sadness when he was distant. Faith is a heart sensitive to God. That you have joy when you know you're in harmony with God. And you know sadness and guilt at times when you're going away from God. But you can always turn back because God always loves you. For he has done for us in Jesus Christ. We are thankful to God. We are sensitive to God's spirit in our lives. This is a clean heart. That's the first thing that God looks for in a person. A clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God. An innocent heart. A humble heart. A loving heart. That's in harmony, in consonance with God. You see, God looks not at the outward appearance, but at the heart, the heart. God gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us, invites us to see things as God sees, to think things as God thinks. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.